How green was my valley? Remember that? Well, you're not that old. There was a movie, How Green Was My Valley. It took place in Wales. And they had a lot of mines there, and this whole thing was mining people. And they had donkeys. Well, when they came up out of the hole, they let the donkeys down there. And I understand that those donkeys, they stayed down there and they became blind. They could not see what was going on. And so they're very much like the people in our passage today. They were blind. When Christ came, the world was blind to the real God, because the Jews had added so many things that you couldn't see God for all the trappings that they put around it. In any case, there was a man who came along. His name was John. And John, his job was not the light. He wasn't the light. The light was Jesus Christ. And his job was to tell people, hey, the light's turned on. They didn't know. They were that blind. They didn't know that the light had come. And he had to tell them that. Well, that's what we'll see here today, that the light is on. And we want to see what difference that makes to us. First of all, we see in verses 6 through 8, the revelation of the light. Had took a preacher, remember? There was a man sent from God. This man sent from God was John the Baptist. His name was John. John the Baptist. Now, that's different. Don't get mixed up between the writer of this epistle or this gospel, John the Apostle. He is not John the Baptist. This man is John the Baptist. There was a man, he says. Now, I have my notes kind of a little joke to myself. Not all wases are the same. There's a was about Jesus. He was with the Father, and he was God. And that word, that was, means to be, to exist. It says nothing about a beginning or the end. It just says he existed. That's the was used four times there, even in verse 2. This one is a different word. This word means that he came to be. He wasn't, and then all of a sudden he became. He became a man. So that's this guy is—he's a man. He's not—he's not God. Didn't claim to be, but he was a man who came to be, and he was God sent. Now that word "sent" again—the word "sent" here is the word from which we get our word "apostle." An apostle is one who is sent with a commission. This one is John the Baptist, was sent with a commission with a purpose to tell people the light's on. Here he is. The light of the world is Jesus. So that was the preacher, verse 6. In verse 7 we see the purpose. He came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Through light, not through John. He was a prophet, commissioned for a particular job, to bear witness of the light. In other words, he was there to announce Jesus' coming. He came out before Jesus came out publicly. Here was John the Baptist, and his job was to say, Jesus is coming. Well, there was a prophecy about him in the Old Testament in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, which, by the way, is reference to the Lord, not to John, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. He's coming, way back 600 years before Christ came. Now, Malachi, 400 years. Isaiah is 600 years. In Isaiah 40, verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Isn't it interesting, all that about John, but it says in there something very interesting, I think, that he is the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord, Jehovah, and a highway for our God. So when you argue, well, that wasn't really a God, of course he's God. He's the Jehovah of the Old Testament. But he's right there. And John was to tell people that. That was John's commission. And then in the New Testament, we find Mark 1:1. He starts off by saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So the Old Testament prophesied it, the New Testament says, and that's he's the fulfillment, John the Baptist. And so there is a preacher, a purpose, prophecy, and a process. Verse 8. Verse 8 says, and he was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. So John was not the light, and he repeatedly had to tell people that. We're just a little bit ahead here. In verse 19, it says this. Now, this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent a priest and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny. He confessed, I am not the Christ. Why did he have to say that? Because they thought he was. And so he has to tell them, I am not the Christ. And they said, well, then who are you? Are you Elijah? Because Elijah was to come, the prophecy. And he said, I'm not. Are you the prophet, that prophet from Deuteronomy? And he answered, no. Notice how his answers get shorter every time. Are you the Christ? No, I am not the Christ. Are you Elijah? I am not. Are you the prophet? No. He said, stop. That's enough. I'm not any of those. And then they said to him, well, then who are you? That we may give an answer to the one who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And then he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. From Isaiah 40. So, even so, some people still held John the Baptist as the one, the Apollos. In Acts 20, Acts 18, Apollos was in Corinth, and Priscilla and Aquila heard him talking and said, boy, he says some good things, but he doesn't know much. And so they had to take him aside and say, and teach him about the Lord. The Lord's come. He's here. And John said, he's coming. That's all Apollos knew. And so he was one of John the Baptist's disciples. And then he learned and he received Christ. Then the disciples of John also Ephesians, in Acts 20, they were in Ephesus, and they had heard about the coming of Jesus. Again, apparently, they were there when John was preaching, the Messiah is coming, Jesus is coming. And, we're glad to hear that. So, they believed that, yeah, Messiah is coming. But by the time Paul got to them in maybe AD 55 or so, they still were disciples of John. And Paul noticed something. Remember, we talked about this. He saw something in them and said, wait a minute, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? In fact, I'm not sure they believed in Jesus before that time. And so he had to tell them that. Jesus came, and then the Holy Spirit came. So they believed, and when they believed on Jesus, they were baptized in Jesus' name, and they received the Holy Spirit. Well, all I'm saying is there are people going around, even in Paul's day, that who did not know. All they knew about was John, and they kept John. In fact, it seems to me, I read somewhere, that there is a group in Russia who are of the apostle of John the Baptist. They are, it's a little church. They have nothing to do with any other Christian church, but they are John the Baptist followers. Well, all that is to say that John was not Jesus, and he did not profess to be. He was here to reveal the light. Now, then there's a response to the light in 9:13. It's great that the light has come. It's great that Jesus is available, but it has nothing to do with you personally until you say, he is coming to me. And so there are responses that came of that. In verse 9, he says, there was the true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. I read that out of the NASB, the New American Study Bible, American Standard Bible, because I think that's the better translation, better than the King James, which has it another way. Yeah. So this he was one who was coming into the world, and the question here is, who was coming? There was a true light which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. Well, some people say, it was every man coming into the world. In fact, the Greek text is lined up that way, that he lights every man coming into the world, who comes into the world. In any case, that is possible grammatically, but I don't think it is by context. Either, I think, is possible grammatically, but context, I think, tells us that it seems to favor number two, that is, that it was the light coming into the world. See, John is speaking about the light, Jesus, coming into the world. That's the context. And so that seems to me would be the answer. He's coming into the world. It's Jesus who was incarnate, Jesus who came into the world. It's the light that came into the world, and he lights every man. So he was in the world, verse 10. I believe that's what John's stress is. Now, he gives light to every man. That's the key. He gives light to every man. The light of the world comes, and he gives light to every man. And I say, well, wait a minute. Does that mean everybody's going to be saved? Some people hold that. No, it's not that. Well, does it mean that everybody's going to hear? Not necessarily. Because everybody doesn't hear, do they? Well, it seems to me that he's not saying here everyone without exception, but everyone without distinction. See? Every man, he lights every man who comes into the world. It doesn't matter whether you're Jewish or you're Greek and so forth. So otherwise, I think that the Jew, remember, he came to the Jews. And I think the Jews would have had, they would say, oh, he's our Messiah. You can't have him. And they would hold it, like their own thing. In fact, that's what the early Christians did. Gentiles can't be a part of this. And Paul had to tell them in Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Greek in Christ, neither bond nor free, nor male nor female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. And he's not saying that when you're saved, you cease to be a Jew. When you're saved, you cease to be a woman, cease to be a man. If you're saved, you cease to be a slave. None of that. What he's saying is, when you're saved, you are saved, and you're all one body. There's no grading, no degrees at all. We're all one. That's what he's saying. So he, every man, without distinction, is coming, is lighted by Christ. Now, that's the light that was shown. But then the light was shunned in verses 10 and 11. They had a chance, verse 10 says, his manifestation. He was in the world. Verse 14 says he was, it's going to tell us next week, that he was, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that word dwelt is the word for tent or tabernacle. It's a temporary thing. So he was temporarily here among us. He dwelt among us. So he was in the world and he was here. But, well, wait a minute, if he's here, isn't God omnipresent? He's God. Isn't he omnipresent? Could he be everywhere? Isn't he everywhere? He's there now, in that sense, right? So there's one way. We're talking here, though, about a local presence. He was with us locally. And so that's what he's saying. He was here in the world. And the world was his creation. The world was made by him. And they didn't recognize their creator. And then his recognition, the world did not know him. Here's where the blind animals come in. Mankind didn't recognize him because the race had sinned. And they sinned and they moved so far away from him that they didn't lose their image, but that image became very faded until they come to Jesus Christ himself and are reborn. So it had faded away. So that was their chance, but then their collapse is in verse 11. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Now, a couple of things. First of all, he came to his own, that's a neuter, and it means he came to his creation. He came to his own creation. And then he says, but his own masculine people received him not. Now, his own people received him not. Then, do you suppose that means that the creation did? He came to his creation, but his own people received him not. The creation accepted him. I think I can show you. He was accepted by the creation. Verse 11a says, he came to his own, the elements. The elements obeyed him. Remember, the disciples were out on the boat on the Sea of Galilee. And got a terrible storm came up. And they said, Lord, we're perishing. Save us. And he rebuked the wind, and the wind stopped. Just like that. Wind doesn't stop like that. And the sea became calm. The sea doesn't become calm like that either. But the Creator spoke. Came to his creation. Creation, the nature, elements, they heard him and they believed. And they stopped. Demons obeyed him. He said, for the demons come out of him. It came out. Well, let us go into these pigs over here. They had to ask permission. They said, okay, go. And they went. They're obeying him. They had to. And then the animals obeyed him. He said in Mark 11, he said to his disciples, go to the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered in, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose him and bring him. And then they brought him. They put their garments on the back of the colt, and Jesus sat on him. Now, maybe you're not a farm person. maybe you have never seen wild, unbroken horses. It doesn't happen that way. Well, you see it in the cowboy movies, and that's pretty close to it. We had a thing down in Dallas, near Dallas, and they had a rodeo. And they had all kinds of things like that, horses that would not be ridden. Here's one, had not been broken. No man ever sat on him. Jesus sat on him and didn't even move one muscle except to carry him along. Well, that's to say, he came to his own things, they received him. He came to man, but his own people, 11b, received him not. The leaders, speaking for the nation, said, "We will not have this man rule over us." That was it. And they spoke for the nation, nationally. But, thank God, they didn't speak for every person. The light was shown. The light was shunned. But the light was also shared. Verses 12 and 13. Their birth was spiritual. A spiritual birth. The requirement says, he says, as many as received him. As many. Jesus included me. As many. Whoever believes. He included all of us if we believe. So, as many as received him, even to those that believe on his name, as many as received him, even to those who believe on his name, I left out the middle because I want you to see this. If you receive him, it's the same as believing on him. There are quite a few synonyms for the word believe. I don't have them down here, but quite a few, like eat and drink. Oh, no, here they are. Drink, come, eat. Those things are there right in John. The drink is verse chapter 4, come chapter 5, eat chapter 6. These are synonyms for believe. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on his name. Now, why would I say that? Because I found in one commentary, well, first of all, you have to receive Jesus, and then you have to believe on him. And he told what receiving is and what believing is. And no, it's the same thing. Receiving is believing. So, anyway, those who did that, as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. That word right, King James says power. It's the word here, the word exousia. The word, it's the right. It's almost like a birth certificate. This is your birth certificate. You believe he gave you this certificate. You are a child of God. Now, that's your proof of eternal life. So the birth was spiritual. It wasn't natural, verse 13 says, who were born, not by, what? Not by human descent. That is, not by blood. They're not, you're not a Christian because you were born into a Christian family. Someone said you wouldn't be if you were born in a garage, you wouldn't be a car. But being born into a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. And another point here, I think, is that God does not have any grandchildren. You say, well, my parents are believers. My parents are children of God. I am a grandchild of God because of them. No, you can't do that. Everybody is a child of God who believes on Jesus directly, not grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and so forth. None of that. So, the birth was not of human descent. And it was not of human desire, not by the will of the flesh. You can't just decide that you will be a child of God. You come either God's way or you don't come at all. So it wasn't by human desire. Now, by that, I think maybe they have in mind, it says not by the will of man. It may be that the husband decided when they would have children, and maybe not by the will of man. Man doesn't decide this. God does. But they were born of God. See, God decides who will have eternal life, and he's already said, here's how you do it. I will give you eternal life if you believe. So, in this context, John is saying, it's God's way or no way. You know, James Kennedy, with the Lord now, he had a little question, hypothetical. If you were to go up the gate of heaven and you say, and God would say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? Well, what's the answer? I hope he knew. He's there now. If he did. I believe, I think the answer would be, Jesus Christ died in my place. I believe, and therefore, I have the right. And it's almost like you say, I believe, you're bringing out your certificate. Here it is. I believe. See? That's my certificate. Okay. The doors swing wide open, and there you go. Well, that's the way salvation comes. And I'm reminded of a hymn, wouldn't I be, long ago. It was about Pilate's hall. When Jesus was in Pilate's hall, he turned and said to them, they said, you crucify him, crucify him. And he said, no. What they chose Barabbas, and he said, what shall I do with Jesus? So somebody had a hymn like that. Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what means that sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day your heart will be asking, what will he do with me?